Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Well, good morning, all. Trust that you're doing well. We were singing, Blessed Be the Name. I was thinking we should put another one in our hymnal, Blessed Be the Pianist, because it's rough without. I remember going through seminary, and they asked me to church plant as part of an ongoing ministry that the seminary's church in Lansdale had, and they were trying to plant 100 churches in the Northeast. And so they asked me if I would go to Syracuse, New York to plant a church. And so my wife and I had been married in 1981, and we went there in 1984, and we were able to rent this beautiful theater in this private school, and it really worked out well. And I remember seeing the piano there, and they had a little riser and the pulpit and all that, and I thought, oh, this is great. But I said, we don't have a pianist. We only had 5 people to start the church with. And I said, we don't have a pianist. And my wife looked at me and she said, well, I'll play. We were married almost 4 years. I never knew she could play the piano. But that was huge, I'll tell you what. Because you don't want to try to lead singing without a pianist. Believe me, if you're a normal person, then yeah. Like me, I just was like, ooh. Thank you, Lord. And God was in control of all those things. Well, it's great to be here with you today. I was here for your missions conference. You may remember back in March, and Pastor Dan asked me if I would fill the pulpit for him while he's gallivanting about. And so I said, sure, that'd be an honor. And so I came down. We have a place up in the mountains in Pennsylvania. We're actually up in the area of Williamsport, PA. If you know where the home of Little League Baseball is, we have the opportunity to have a place up there that we purchased back when we were in ministry in the D.C. area, Washington, D.C. So a couple times a month, we might go up for a couple days, and that was great. And then the Lord led us into this ministry, and so we kind of split our time up north where it's nice and cooler, at least. I'll say cooler because we had some hot days. But it was cooler this summer than South Carolina, which is where our grandkids are. And we purchased a house about 1.5 years ago down there, so we can be with the grandkids and all that happiness through the winter months. So it's kind of a blessing. So I came down and just really happy to be able to be with you here today. This morning, Pastor Dan asked me to give an update on the ministry of CABU. And before I do that, I just want to thank you as the church for your monthly support. And that is greatly appreciated. It's wonderful to have partners like you come alongside of us and join in that ministry, because the ministry wouldn't be able to succeed and we would not be able to do what we are doing without our financial our partners that are really backing everything. We're very thankful for how God has provided, and it is a real joy. So this morning I thought, let me put together a new slide presentation. And then if we have time, and I'm sure we will, I can answer any questions that you have at the end. Before we get into, let's see, what has to happen here, Tim? Do I need to push a button? Okay, well, we're going to just start the PowerPoint here with that first slide. And we'll go through a couple of things, and then I'll show you a video. Before we get going, though, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, this may be a verse that I shared with you back at the missions conference. The missions conference, how many of you are here for that missions conference? Okay, several of you were. That's great. That was a real blessed time. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, Thou therefore, my son. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy here. Timothy is up and coming in the ministry, and he has been mentored by Paul. and others, and it's exciting to see what God is doing with Timothy and how he's using him. But Paul says to him, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that is kind of our theme here this morning, being strong, enduring the race. The message this morning will come from Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about we're encompassed by so many clouds of witnesses who have gone on before us, and we're to run with endurance the race that is set before us. But Paul writes in verse 2, and he says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Remember, at the time of this writing, the Bible has not been, the canon has not been closed. It's not as though the Word of God is readily available. These are inspired words that Paul has received through the Holy Spirit of God that have been written down for our advantage today in the church age. And so we rejoice that we have the Word of God. But we see how important the Word of God truly is when we recognize that this is supposed to be committed unto faithful men for perpetuity purposes and ongoing for the time that the Lord Jesus Christ tarries before he comes again. And so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to take the Word of God and put it into hearts and minds, and we are all of us, each one of us, needing to learn and grow. Amen? None of us have arrived. I'm always excited. There was a conference I was at a couple weeks ago, and there was a pastor, teacher from England, and he had a real thick accent, and he was speaking on the final day of that, and he got into the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, and he taught on that, and it was marvelous. And I just sat there and I said, wow, that is so unbelievable. I never saw it that way. That's what the Word of God is supposed to be like for us, is it not? Where we expand the Word of God and we expand our understanding of it. And it's vital that we're able to do so in a way that's really keeping track with the Word of God in its true accuracy. So he goes on and he says, thou therefore endure hardness as you're trying to commit this to faithful men. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That's very similar to some of the language we're going to see this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. But he says this, he says, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So the one who is committing to faithful men the Word of God must do so within the confines of biblical accuracy. And it is absolutely essential that that be the case. So let me just share with you a couple of things that are part of our vision at CABU. One of the things that has driven us from the very inception of the school is the importance of training pastors. That's what we're seeking to do. That is our primary objective. It has always been our primary objective, and it will continue to be our primary objective. And you can see from this graphic here that number one, we're training pastors. It's the core of what we do. Secondly, we're training church leaders and teachers. You can't leave out your church leaders and your teachers. Those of you who have been involved in children's ministry, adult ministry, your teaching, your leading Bible studies, all of those components are vital in the church's overall health. And you're going to need to be trained as well. Part of what I love to see is churches like this one, where the pastor's committed to the Word of God, and there's an ongoing discipleship that takes place every single Sunday. As you sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you're growing. And as you're growing, your knowledge of God is expanding, and your walk with Christ is growing in its depth and its understanding. And that is a joy. Number three, we have started to educate Christians who are going to take the teaching aspect, and I'm talking about school teachers, and they're going to take that into the public schools. And what's so different about that, you say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because in Zambia, our Christian school teachers are allowed to evangelize their students. Pretty cool, huh? And you know, kids look up to their teachers. If you get a good teacher, you look up to them. And you listen to what they say and you hear it closely. And if you're able to share Christ with your students, it's going to have a tremendous impact. And we recognize that because it's so different than here in the United States. And that's encouraged over there. And so that's part of what we're trying to do. Then we add on a whole bunch of other things on that outer band, number four. And this is our radio station that has now gone streaming. We have people that are coming to faith in Christ because they're hearing the gospel on the radio. And that's a neat way to help our pastors that are in the area, help our Christians in the churches in the area. And that's really neat. We have training conferences every right after Thanksgiving, first week of December. We have a leadership conference. Hundreds of pastors from Zambia and beyond will come to that leadership conference. And we'll fly over speakers who will speak. And it's a rich time of growing. We also are training chaplains. And the chaplains have a very strong presence on the campus. They're very interested in knowing the Word of God. They want to be able to minister to people effectively. And that's all about knowing God's Word. And then we have what's up there. It says Imbelia. Imbelia is our publishing house. So we are publishing all of our own materials, but we're already publishing books that African authors are writing. And you can write a great book if you're a theologian here in the United States. But when you know the perspective on the ground in Africa and you write the same type of book, you're going to hit a home run, whereas we might only hit a single. Does that make sense? They're able to pinpoint the pitfalls and the challenges that the pastors are facing there. And so we're starting to roll some books off our printing press, and we're excited about that. We have a brand new building that's dedicated to our printing presses. And we're also publishing Bibles by the thousands. We are printing Bibles by the thousands, and they are going off to different countries. So that's kind of exciting as well as we see that generating. Now, in this next slide, you'll see that spinning off of our number one objective is the sign language deaf studies. We have pastors who are coming because they want to be able to minister to people in their church who they have no ability to connect and communicate with. There are so many people, 90 million estimated in Africa, that cannot hear. And the churches will have people that come and they're interested in the gospel and the pastor can't communicate with them. And they've got no educational background because there's no education in the school system that will teach them anything. And so our sign language deaf studies ministry scope is really expanding. And that's really exciting to see these people finally getting the opportunity to hear about Jesus and be saved. So that's a joy. And then you have our TSE program. And I'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But that stands for Theological Studies by Extension. So we have a lot of different things that are happening within the scope of CABU. Our Kingdom Impact, we have 100 alumni that are actively pastoring and planting churches. Isn't that great? And so you say, well, that's a pretty good number. It's growing. It is growing. The school is growing. I'll show you a slide here in a minute. But you'll see there that 95% of our graduates are serving in some form of ministry. So that's a really high percentage if you know anything about the percentages that come from the United States. My seminary, can you imagine going to seminary and learning Greek and learning Hebrew and not using it? It happens. And my seminary is not even close. It wasn't even close to 95%. I know guy after guy after guy that I went to school with for 4 years who never went into ministry. And I just said, was it just fun studying that? I mean, why did you do that? I don't understand. But it's different over in Africa. There's 181 CABU alumni, and that is a number that reflects the number of people who have actually gotten a degree versus our diplomas. And we give a lot of diplomas out, and they come in various categories. For instance, right now, you can teach in the public school system without a degree. You just need a diploma. And so we're ramping up, but it takes time to have the Board of Education give you the accreditation that you need in order to be able to get that and grant that degree. So it's all a process. We are dedicated to training servant leaders in Africa for Great Commission Living, and that for us is the bottom line. And these are the nations that we're affecting. The black almost looks like two ears there. That's Zambia. And we have borders with many different countries, as you can see. And the word is getting out. And so our numbers are growing, and we're seeing increased. And I apologize for the size of this. But here's what I want to be able to take away from this. This lists our 2025 student enrollment. And the number there that's so shocking is the total number of new students. It's 114 new students this year alone, with 133 that are returning. So that gives us well over 200 if you just do the simple math on it. And we've never had that many students. We've never even been over really much over 200. So to go to 247 is a huge, huge jump. And I just want to point out that every one of those students is scholarshiped. Your support as a church goes towards scholarshipping all of those students, because in Africa, they don't have the capability to raise money like we do. And so they're basically poor, and we are subsidizing their education, which is $4,500 to $5,000. That's room, board, and tuition. And we're asking them to pay, depending on the exchange rate, it could be as low as $1,000 if you took U.S. dollars, or $2,000 on the higher end. Right now, it's about $1,200, $1,300 that they have to pay. You say, well, $1,200, $1,300 for a college education? Do that math. Four times, you know, $1,200? That's a deal, isn't it? We all ought to go to Africa for an education if that's the price. Why get in debt $60,000? You can go over there and you can get an accredited degree. I'm only half kidding. If I had kids today, I'd be seriously thinking about it. But seriously, as you look at this, all of those students have to be scholarshiped. So the difference between what we're asking them to pay and what we're paying is considerable. So for every new student, it's exciting to get them, but we know it's going to cost us about $2,500 to $3,000. Okay. So yeah, I mean, there's that, you know, back and forth that you struggle with, but we're excited about what God's doing. And teachers are coming. The people are, our education department is growing big time. That's neat to see. Our church planters, our missionaries, they are growing in number. And the estimation, which shocked me back in May when we had a board meeting, the estimation is 375 students in three more years. And that's because of the growth. If you have 114 new students for the next 3 years, it's not going to take you very long till you're at 400 or so. And as a board member, I've been on the board for over 15 years. We had decided 200 was going to be our cap number, but God's got other plans. So we'll see how far God wants to take it and how he wants to use it. But it is truly, really an exciting part of this. So let's just take a moment. Tim, let's roll the first video there. And it's actually the video that will talk about the third generation aspect. An overview of some of the church planting efforts that are happening over there in Zambia. The Faith Baptist Church of Riverside was mentioned as kind of the primary church. That was our president's church. He founded that church back in the 1990s, and one thing led to another, and he had so many people who were bringing children to his house, and he's got seven kids himself. And they were dropping off children who were orphans. And if you recall, the AIDS crisis is still a big deal in Africa. And these kids' parents were dying. And as a result, they were homeless children. And so Phil Hunt, our president, was moved to start the Faith Children's Village, which is an orphanage, which has grown hundreds, now attend that orphanage. And that orphanage, they had secured land for it in a place called Kokolo. You just heard about the church in Kokolo. There was no church in Kokolo before the orphanage came there, but then it became apparent that they were going to need to go to church. Now, there was no good road to get to Kokolo, to the church or the orphanage. It was hideous. We were driving about 30 miles an hour, which was about 25 miles an hour too fast. And Phil hit this puddle, and the whole grill of the van disappeared in the puddle. We never did find it. And it was insane driving back there. And the kids, to go to school, they had to get in these little dugout type canoes and go across where hippopotamus and crocodiles were to cross this dangerous river. And it was terrible. And so one thing was led to another, and they said, you know what, let's do a church plant there so these poor kids don't have to leave Kokolo and come to Riverside. And so that's what they did. They started that church there, and God blessed the church. I preached in the church. It's fabulous. It's so much fun. And God is doing a work. And then they, in turn, decided they were going to start another church out in Kamilili, and that's where Mufala is starting to do the church plant. They already have the building, as you saw in the video, built, and they wasted no time with that either, I want to say. And out of mud bricks, they made that building and put it all together. And so God has blessed. So not only when Phil Hunt went there, there was no church in Kitwe, in that area of the city. That church gets started, the orphanage, and consequently the church in Kokolo gets started, and now we have a third church plant out in this rural area. And I thought Kokolo was rural. We're talking really rural. So, and yet they're filling these church buildings. They're filling these church buildings. People are coming to Christ, and it is a joy just to be able to behold that. So what you have here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is really being manifested in a huge, huge way. And it's exceptional to see how CABU's been instrumental in being able to train a pastor like Mufala, and he's able to handle the Word of God in such a way that people can grow and truly understand God's Word. And so, you know, it's exciting for me to see his testimony. Hey, I just want to be able to accurately give the Word of God so that people will grow. And we need that. We truly, truly need that. Well, let me go on to the second phase of what I want to talk about, and that is the theological studies by extension. Let me just give you some numbers, and those are the countries that we are currently running classes in. I have some updated statistics. Our statistics range because the record keeping over there in Africa is less than what I would desire. But here's what I do know. So since this started in 2015, so it's been up and running for 10 years, it started as a byproduct of our leadership conference in the first week of December, where so many pastors said, we have no theological training, but we're pastoring. And we said, well, we could go on out, maybe there's a group of a dozen pastors, and we can teach them for a week. And one of our professors or one of our alumni will come out and do the teaching. Now, we call that 12, say, pastors. We call that a cohort. So a cohort of pastors could be in Zambia, and that's where it all started. And we have several cohorts, many cohorts in Zambia. But then we have other countries that are asking us to come. And would you teach this group of 25 pastors? Would you teach this group of 35 pastors? And so it has just grown over time. We are currently in 13 different countries in 2025, teaching cohorts of pastors. There are 37 different cohorts of pastors, all totaled with our TSE program, 37. 15 of those cohorts are new this year alone. Okay, this year alone. And we had a missionary by the name of Matt Gass come over, and Matt has designed fully a 3-year curriculum so that these pastors can get the training that they need. And by the time they're done the 3 years, if you looked at it, and these are pastors who have an average of 7th or 8th grade education. But if you looked at that 3-year curriculum, you would find that it matches up well with our seminaries today. I mean, they are getting what they need. They're not getting the original languages. No, that's true. But they're getting everything they need to be able to handle the Word of God. They're getting a quality hermeneutic. What is hermeneutic? Anybody? What's a hermeneutic? How to study the Bible. How do you interpret God's Word? Do you realize that that is critical? I was teaching in China, out in the remote area of China, about 10 years ago, and I was teaching from a book called Grasping God's Word, and it was all about hermeneutics. That's what is foundational. If they don't have the right hermeneutic, they will not be able to grasp the Scripture. And so our people have gone out, we've been teaching those things, and we are excited about it. 2024, we had 49, I want to say, class offerings in these various countries. Take a guess. Anybody want to take a guess? How many classes have we, or how many classes are we planning to teach in 2025? Going from 49 last year to 100. Somebody said 100. 107. And we have already had 1,972 pastors studying. Isn't that cool? And we don't even count their wives. But in Livingstone, we had 35 pastors, and they all brought their wives. So we had 70 who were there. And the wives are very, very important because they're oftentimes involved teaching God's Word as well. And that kind of goes back to that original slide where I said church leaders. We're trying to train church leaders as well. And so the huge component. Out of the 1,972 pastors studying in 2025, 995 of them are brand new, just starting the program. So the last 2 years, we have graduated with the 3-year curriculum, 165 pastors. Is that great? I mean, that's an incredible, incredible number. And so we are we're excited about what God is doing with all of these aspects. And so, again, 1,972 pastors studying in 2025 alone. And we're giving them that biblical worldview that is so important. So, Tim, we're going to do the video now on the TSE, so you'll kind of get a little bit more of a grasp for what's happening there on the ground. An important aspect of what we're doing there. And it was really what God wanted us to really be able to accomplish. And we just didn't see that coming, but it's just taken off. And what God is doing with that is remarkable. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the theme verse for Awana, if you're familiar with the Awana program, is 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And then the next part's so important. It says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. You and I are living in a time where, even here in the United States, we're not seeing the word of God rightly divided. And the consequence of that is huge. Bad theology will always produce bad Christianity. And over in Africa, the number one issue in Christianity is what? Well, you just kind of saw it on the slide. What is it? The prosperity gospel. He talked about that in the very beginning, about how people are getting rich off of Christianity. If you were to look up the top 10 richest pastors in the world, you probably won't find your pastor on that list. You will, however, find several that are in Africa, one of the poorest continents in the world. And the reason for that is the prosperity gospel. If you do not rightly divide the word of God, you will mislead people. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, the consequence is still the same. And that's been a pet peeve of mine, is just how we handle the Word of God. 2 weeks ago, There's a large church. I won't tell you the name of the church or the name of the pastor, but I consider him someone I know fairly well. And he was in the book of John. And let me just give you an example here. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And it is the teaching of Jesus here in John chapter 14. And let's just look at the verse 12, where Jesus is talking. He says, "Verily, verily," or "truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, that seems like a kind of harmless verse, but there is one word in that verse that really stands out, and you have to get it right. And so I was watching the church service on video, and I thought to myself, you're coming down to this one word, and how you handle this one word is incredibly important. What's the one word in that verse? Anybody want to take a guess? Greater. And so, and I did try to read that with emphasis on the word greater, but greater is the key. So how do you interpret the word greater? Is it, I'm going to be able to do greater things than Jesus? Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus says, you know, that I do the things that I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these he'll do. Well, I'm thinking about some of the great works of Jesus. Who can give me a couple great works of Jesus? What did Jesus do? Raised Lazarus from the dead. After he was dead, how many days? 4 days. Whoo! At home. What else? What's that? Healed the blind man in chapter 9. Right. Fed the 5,000. Walked on water. And the ultimate thing Jesus did was, after being crucified, he rose from the dead. So those are just the samplings of all the things, water to wine, on and on and on. All of those things, and the Bible says that you can do greater than those things. Huh. If you get that wrong in your teaching, where does that lead people? They roll up their sleeves, they get all fired up. I'm going out into the world and I'm going to do greater things this week than Jesus. Oh, yeah? You better be careful with that. You see, the word greater doesn't mean greater as in that sense. We have to remember, this is a translation from the original Greek, and it doesn't always convey 100% with our English. I don't care what version you're looking at. Here, the truth of the matter is found if you were to study the context of that verse. What's the last part of verse 12 say? You're going to do greater because I'm leaving. Jesus says, I'm leaving. So this is an extent aspect of the word greater. You're going to be able to do greater in number than I'm doing because I'm only here for 3 years and you're going to live for 50 more. Does that make sense? And so if you don't get that right, and unfortunately my pastor didn't get it right, okay, and it became a mess, all right, you had people walking out thinking that they were going to do something amazing that week, greater than what Jesus did, versus greater in extent. And what Jesus is saying is very impactful. He's saying, you know what? Your life is important, and you're going to have a tremendous influence in this world because the Holy Spirit's within you, and you're going to live for decades or how long God has for you here on this earth, and you're going to be able to do amazing things in its overall scope. But don't try to get out of the boat in the middle of the ocean. It's not going to work out well for you. That's not what he was saying. So I use that illustration just to illustrate the importance of being able to rightly divide the word of God. And we need that here in the United States. We need it in Africa. We need it in Europe. We need it in South America. We need it everywhere. We have to have leaders who are able to commit themselves to this type of biblical teaching. So it's enormously important. That's why we have the School of the Bible, Bachelor of Arts degree. We want people to know God's Word, our School of Education. I've mentioned that as well. And that's huge. Central Africa Seminary is one that we just started a month ago. And so we have partnered with it's Colonial Hills Baptist Church is what it was. But it's down in Cary, North Carolina. It's a seminary down there. Some of my professors from Bible College ended up teaching there. We have partnered with them so that we can offer a degree that's accredited in Zambia. And so we have Zoom classes, people are going online, but our guys are hungry for the word. They're not satisfied with a four-year degree in Bible. They want to know more. They want the MDiv, they want the languages. Isn't that exciting? I mean, our guys here in the United States are going the other direction. I mean, they're finding, we have big seminaries here in the United States and you can get a Master of Divinity degree, which was always considered the baseline for pastors. It's not anymore. And you can get that without any Greek or Hebrew. So it keeps getting dumbed down. And that's why you have a pastor who misses the word greater. Okay? And it's huge because I just pointed out that word greater, but there's all kinds of implications, theological ones as well. And we're diving off the deep end with some of the new theology that's around today. So we have to be careful. But pray for our seminary. And this is the library. I think I mentioned that back in March. God has blessed the library tremendously. This is when they were just starting to put some of the books in there. You can see it's a beautiful building. But this is part of the dedication for it. You can see all the books there. We got over 50,000 volumes. So again, we're really committed to training pastors and church leaders so that they can handle the Word of God. And so it might become a little bit more old-fashioned and say, well, people are going to come in, take books out and read them and study them. But that's what we want. And the internet's not reliable anyway over there. What's the vision for the future? Our School of the Bible, education, our seminary, and then all the non-accredited programs that we're offering, like the TSE program. Those are all part of the future for this. Out on the table, if you haven't signed up yet, so you can get updates on the school and what God's doing there, I put a sign-up sheet out there. If you put your name, try to clearly write your email, because sometimes they get a little squirrely. If you could do that, that would be great. I'll add you to the list. And there's also a card out there that kind of gives some of the different funds that people can give into. Our education fund's our number one fund. That's where we scholarship everybody from and operate from. But some people like to give to the Deaf Ministry Fund or the Publishing Fund, et cetera. And there's a card out there with QR codes that you can access. So feel free to do that. I leave you with this thought. We want to remember to commit to faithful men the Word of God so that they're able to go out and teach others also. We have a few minutes left. Let me just mention this slide. This is a terrible slide, I understand. I pulled it off of an email that I got, but there are several projects that we're doing there right now, and they total $195,000. And we have someone who's willing to give $100,000 to this program or these projects, and it's matching funds. So they'll give up to $100,000 depending on how much comes in. And so if you feel led to be involved in any of that, a lot of it has to do with some lots that we were able to acquire, and we're developing those lots and expanding the scope of where we can put students because we don't have a ginormous dormitory. But these things are ongoing, and they're very much real needs. So again, we are CABC USA, and we have an office up in Epsom, New Hampshire, and that is kind of our focal point. Let me take in the next couple minutes. Anybody have any questions? I've been rattling on. Yes. Yes.
But a two-edged sword is that others can also teach false teaching.
Yeah, I mean, that is a possibility. We're not seeing that actively. The interesting thing is Zambia, here's their thinking, whether it's correct or not, it's not. But they say, oh, look, the United States is rich. We want to be rich. The United States is Christian, so that must be the connection. So if we become Christian, then we'll be rich. Okay? And as long as they want to think that, that's fine. That is fine. And so evangelical Christianity is what they have really focused in on. Not Catholicism, not Mormonism, not any of these other things. They've really kind of focused on the evangelical aspect, which works. I mean, that's why the chaplains are coming. All the chaplains, military chaplains, they want to have them educated at CABU. Can you imagine? And chaplains are a big deal over there. The prison chaplains, hospital chaplains, and military chaplains. That's a big, big thing. So. There's no separation of church and state. So you have the opposite. When Phil Hunt first went to Africa back in the 90s, our church in Muncie, Pennsylvania, he asked us if we would make up buttons to kind of theme type buttons that you would wear on your shirt. And it was, what did we say? Choose chastity, choose life, or something like that. Choose purity, choose life. And it was to combat sexual immorality, because the sexual immorality was causing the AIDS crisis. And we made up thousands of those buttons, and we shipped them all over to Africa, and they distributed them in the public school. So the public school wanted Phil to get those, get the message out that way. So it's interesting. And they're a very corrupt government. I mean, they're just, you know, it's still corrupt and can be, you know. The police are all shaking you down for money. And we have problems that one, there's a bakery that's right next to us. And the bakery, there was a lot in between the bakery and us. And we both bid on it. We outbid them. And they still gave it to the bakery. The bakery now has come back and said, oh, we own more, and they're trying to take our driveway away. And we're fighting about that in court. And you have to get to the point where you get away from the local corruption. And that's what we're trying to do, but it's costing us a lot of money to do that. But they're just antagonistic, and it becomes a difficulty. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. The GAP program, GAP programs are internationally pretty well known, but we don't have them here in the United States. GAP programs, the GAP is the year between high school and college. And in Zambia, you have to take competency tests. Can you imagine if that happened in the United States? Holy mackerel. Competency tests to see if you qualify to be a student at a college level. And so during that year, it's kind of a lost year for students. We invite them to come, and we give them a diploma and Bible so they can come. And then many of them that do that enroll as freshmen the next year. So that's the GAP program that we have. Good question. Anybody else? All right, I am out of time. We're going to close with a word of prayer and take a break before the morning service. Father, we just rejoice, Lord, in the testimony of what you're doing there in Africa. We rejoice just listening to men and women who exclaim the power of God and how it's just translated in their lives and in their churches, Lord. And we just are just so thankful for the people that are being reached there. May you bless it. May you continue to bless it. And we pray that you would receive all the glory for the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things that you will do in the future. And Father, I thank you for Heritage Baptist Church, who has come alongside of us to partner with us. I pray your blessing on this church, Father, because of that, especially, and just the joy that we can share by seeing how your word is advancing there in Zambia and beyond. So we praise you, and we look forward to the morning service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.